as we continue in this series on the principle of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We have been looking at the principle of Christ, the basic law, the accepted rule of action, the character and the nature of Jesus Christ. And we have seen from this Bible passage that we have read that the nature of Christ is obedience. Whoever is not obedient, you cannot hear simple instruction and comply with it, can never be successful with the Almighty God. God does not measure success in naira and in kobo. God does not measure success in dollars and in pound sterling. Years after I had written Beware of Success, I still had this nagging question, how do I define success from the perspective of the Almighty God? It was easy to define success from the perspective of the world. In the world, success means you have a career. If you excel in it, you are successful. In the world, if you are a good doctor and you have your own practice and a lot of people consult you, you are a successful doctor. If you are a lawyer, you have a lot of clients and they come to you with their cases and you win their cases for them in court, you are a successful lawyer. If you are a businessman and your business is booming and you are making good profit, you are a successful businessman. How do you measure success with God? It wasn't until a few years later, a number of years, over 10 years after I had written Beware of Success, that I had a dream. And in that dream, I was preaching to a congregation. And I was telling the congregation what is success. And I found myself saying in that dream that success means to discover the purpose of God for your life and to fulfill it. That is success. So I repeated it again. Success means discovering the purpose of God for your life and fulfilling it. So success involves two steps. The first step is that you must discover the purpose of God for your life. Why did God create you? Like we mentioned previously, there were certain decisions that were taken for us by God. He did not ask our opinion. For example, the day you were born, God didn't ask your opinion. Who your mother will be, God did not ask your opinion. Who will be your father? He didn't ask your opinion. Which nation you will be born into? Which tribe you will be born into? He took all those decisions for you. In fact, whether you will be male or female, God took that decision. You did not decide to be a woman if you're a woman. Neither did you decide to be a man if you are a man. God took those decisions. Now, all those decisions were taken by God for a purpose. And then he decided that you will be on planet Earth in this generation, he could have created you in the days of Apostle Paul, when there was no car, when there was no bicycle. He could have created you in the days of your grandfather. You could have arrived even in the day of Moses. But he chose to release you in this particular generation. Because there is something that God wants to do in this generation, and he created you to do it. There is no life that does not have a purpose. Every life has a purpose attached to it. So success is discovering that purpose. That's the first thing. And then the second step is fulfilling it. So it's no use discovering the purpose and not fulfilling it. And there is no way you can fulfill it if you don't discover it. And I got the definition of success. And then we now go to the next challenge. How do you discover the purpose? And how do you fulfill it? That is where obedience comes in. Like we learned in Sunday school this morning, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of it, it is death. There are certain decisions that the society, your culture, the world, your parents have already programmed into your mind since you were a child. Certain things have been consistently programmed into you, that for you to deprogram yourself and now reprogram yourself into the perfect will of God demands obedience. It demands submission. So we must get into the spirit and into the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ must be in us. It is the world that tells you if you don't have money, you are a nobody. God never said so. God never said so. I found something very, very interesting in the scriptures. And I wonder, don't we read the scriptures before we mount the pulpit to preach? I saw in James chapter 2 that the Lord asked in his word, "Hath God not chosen the poor to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised them that love him?" Let's see it together. James chapter 2. I think it is in verse 5. The book of James after Hebrew. It's James chapter 2, verse 5. Are we there?
Yes.
"Hearken, my beloved brethren." Say, "Listen, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" So I ask you this morning, whom hath God chosen to inherit his kingdom, the rich man or the poor man? Huh? My brother, do you see that? It's a simple question. Who hath God chosen to inherit his kingdom, the rich man or the poor man? The poor man. And yet every Sunday, pastors are harassing you, you must become rich. And when it comes to the rich man, Jesus Christ says in Luke chapter 6, "Woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation." It's like that when you say, "Rich man, we have settled you. We have paid you off. On planet Earth, you have been settled, so you have nothing anymore up there in the kingdom of God." Are you still along with me? Meanwhile, pastors are harassing, doing special programs, telling people to come and become millionaires. And God is saying, "I don't want millionaires in my kingdom." So until we reprogram our mind and get into the spirit of Christ and begin to learn contentment. During Sunday school, our teacher was telling us that God is teaching her to take it 1 week at a time. It's because God has not finished with you. Because what God plans is one day at a time. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day, not this week." You don't plan for tomorrow with God. You hand tomorrow over to Him. What He wants is on a day-to-day basis relationship. Every day, the manna is supplied every morning. May the Lord help us, may the Lord grant us grace to become obedient and break our mind from the mindset of this generation and get into the spirit of contentment. For godliness with contentment is great gain. If we don't learn contentment, we are going to lose salvation. Because the opposite of contentment is covetousness. Covetousness, you are just never satisfied. And they keep telling you, maximize your potential. Maximize your potential. You must go for it. You must, not knowing they are destroying your soul. We are looking at obedience. We mentioned that there are two principles operating in the universe, the principle of rebellion and the principle of obedience. Lucifer represents rebellion, and Jesus Christ represents obedience. At any particular moment in your life, you are operating under one of these principles. You cannot do the two. You are either in obedience to the will of God, or you are in rebellion to the perfect will of God. And of course, God is not interested in our doctrine. He is interested in our principle. Because even in our doctrine, there could be elements of self-will. We see what people are doing with doctrine now. They are turning doctrine, twisting doctrine to suit their desires and their preconceived ideas. So you can manipulate doctrine. You cannot manipulate obedience. Obedience means you hear and you obey. Pure and simple. It cannot be manipulated. We mentioned that Satan is not afraid of our prayer. No evil spirit is afraid when we call prayer meeting. In fact, they will attend. No evil spirit is afraid of our fasting and prayer. The only thing they are afraid of is our obedience. Because the devil knows the day you make up your mind that you will obey God, no matter what it costs you, that day he has an enemy. For there is nothing that God cannot do with somebody that is perfectly obedient. So the devil will try to seduce, to tempt, to entice us from obedience into disobedience, because at that level he can handle us. So long as we stand on obedience, he cannot handle us. And I pray that from today you will purpose that your obedience will be perfect in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now we come to whom should we obey? You will remember that as we were rounding up last week, we said every Christian, every child of God must have one assignment. You must have one mindset. Any situation you get into, what's the first thing you are supposed to do? Find out who has authority. Find out, look for who has authority and submit to the authority of that person. Like when we went for the evangelism this morning, before we started, what was the first thing we did? Where is the captain here? Where is the captain in this place? The two places we went to, the first person we searched for was the captain. Somebody will be in charge. In that street football that they are playing, that captain represents God. Are you following along with me? That is the man in authority. Whereas you discover the person that has authority, submit to his authority. If he says sit, You see, you know the first place we went, if that captain had said, no, you cannot distribute this thing here, we will not distribute anything. They will carry it back. We will not do it. We could say, what do you mean? Who wants to drink? Come and take the job. It's a bit. We will not distribute. I had to go and discuss. After Joseph had spoken to me, I had to go personally and talk to him. And he gave the go ahead. And he said, we can come back again. That's why we can go back. Everywhere, whether you are on the road, whether you are in the office, whether you are at home, whether you are in the church, whether you are in the fellowship, whether you are in a marriage, whether you are in the family, find out who has authority. And submit to that person. So long as that fellow does not tell you to do what will lead you into sin, you must do what he says. You must obey. If the person who has authority has now become rebellious himself and is telling you to do what is sinful, then you must do what the apostles did in Acts chapter 4 verse 19 and tell him, judge between you yourself. Whether it is right in your sight that we should obey God or we should obey men. I will not obey you and disobey God. What you are saying is contrary to the rule of God. So you are no longer under God's authority yourself. You cannot exercise authority. That is what Christians are supposed to be doing. If Christians had been doing that in Nigeria, there would have been no corruption in this nation. They say, now, God say, I do. You know that, God, if I don't do it, he'll fire you. Let him fire you, and let us see whether God will not fire him. In fact, the moment you refuse to do it, your God knows that he must be afraid of you himself. Only one person has authority in the universe. It is the Almighty God. We have seen situations in the church in which some of our spiritual leaders have become emperors and they rule by fiat. Some have become generals. They rule by decree. You cannot argue with what the pastor says. It is not right. The pastor stands to be corrected because we are all brethren. No man has the fullness of wisdom, and God did not give all his wisdom to one man. As a matter of fact, to humble us at times, the person we consider the least is the person that God will deposit the wisdom that we need for a very troublesome project. The person we consider the least. When you see skyscrapers today, the modern skyscrapers that they are building, you will notice that they don't put an elevator inside the building anymore. They put the elevator outside the building and attach the elevator to the wall. So that as you are taking the elevator up, you are seeing the surroundings, you are seeing the scenery. It's very beautiful. You are inside the elevator, you are 25 stories up, and you are seeing the entire city. You know before, when you are inside the elevator, you are inside the box. Now, elevator, you are not surrounded by a glass, and you are seeing everything. How did they discover it? It wasn't an architect. It wasn't a civil engineer. It wasn't a mechanical engineer. They constructed a skyscraper. And the worst blunder of all, they forgot in their design to create the space for the elevator. And the architects, the consultants, the civil engineers, all of them were pouring over drawing. How could this have happened? How could we have? We could lose our licenses. How can we design a house, multi-billion dollar house, skyscraper, and there is no space, no shaft? So they call it the elevator shaft. No shaft for the elevator. How could we do this? And a cleaner was cleaning the office, mopping the floor, sweeping. And the cleaner was hearing them. After a while, the cleaner just turned to them. I said, why are you worrying yourself? Why don't you connect it outside to the wall? And they said, that's true. We never thought of that. And that's where they got the wisdom from. From a cleaner. So God can give anybody wisdom. When a pastor begins to think that he can arrogate all the wisdom to himself, he's heading for trouble. Because only one person has authority, and that is the Almighty God. Every single person on the earth is what is called a delegated authority. God exercises his authority two ways on planet earth, directly and indirectly. Those are the two ways. Directly is when God calls you your name and say, go to that place. Then that is direct exercise of God's authority. Indirectly, somebody who has authority over you will call you and say, go to that place. 9 times out of 10, in fact, 9.5 times out of 10, God exercises his authority indirectly through delegated authorities. He rarely exercises his authority directly. Either he will use your parents to tell you, or he will use your pastor, or he will use a policeman, or he will use your manager, or he will use your father. He will exercise authority usually indirectly. Now, if you are a child of God and you are not used to God's authority, you will rebel. When they tell you to do what you don't like, you will not realize that it is God that is speaking to you. Many people want to hear from God before they do some things. You don't wait to hear from God. You identify the person who has authority over you. Once that person speaks, you have heard from God. Because God really exercises his authority. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 2. Are we there? Romans 13, 1 to 2. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of who? But of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, you might think disobedience is a small thing. You might think, Shebi, it is the head of department that I refuse to obey. What is the big deal? We are all workers now. We are all workers. Before, pastor called me and said that you should be the head of the department. And he was telling me that me on Saturday, that I needed to do things, that me, I'm the one who should go and see so-so-so and so and collect those things. Can't he go himself? I don't know what to say. And you don't realize, the fellow does not realize, at that moment he has lost his salvation. Is that serious? At that moment, he has manifested the principle of Lucifer. Check it out here. Verse 2, last sentence. And they that resist shall receive to themselves what? What is the opposite of salvation? Damnation. You are either saved or you are damned. You resist authority, you resist constituted authority, forget heaven. And many people in the church are doing it in the office, at home, not to talk about in the church is even a normal place now. Why? Because there is a lack of understanding of what is authority. No man has authority. Only God has authority. We all represent authority. We all are delegated authority. The bishop is a delegated authority. The general overseer is a delegated authority. The generals who pretended is a delegated authority. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, we are all delegated authorities. In a church, for example, the pastor has his own sphere of influence. The usher has his own sphere of influence. The choir leader has his own sphere of influence. The treasurer has his own sphere of influence. Everybody has a measure of authority. The pastor must submit to the authority of the others. He must. Let me give you an example. There are some large churches in which they have some brethren who volunteer to control the car park. You understand? On Sunday, those brethren will not go into the church. They will stand in the sun, watching over other people's vehicles and making sure that people park in an orderly manner. Pastor now arrives in church one Sunday, the senior pastor. As he wants to park his car, a brother in the usher walks up to him and says, "Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, sir. Sorry, sir, you can't park here today because we are trying to rearrange the parking arrangement. We have discovered that if there is a vehicle here, vehicles are not able to turn and to come out. So we provided another place for you, sir. Please, sir, can you move your car to that place and park there so that it will be complete?" And Pastor said, "Brother Andrew, Brother Andrew, are you all right this morning? Who, I should move my car?" Nonsense. Nonsense. What got into your head? And do you know who you are talking to? Nonsense. And the pastor closes the door, bangs it, and then he walks inside and he preaches a wonderful sermon that Sunday. Now I ask you a question. Throughout that service, who was the pastor representing? Jesus Christ or Lucifer? Oh, how many wonderful messengers are in hell? How many wonderful messengers, including miracle workers? Have you forgotten what Jesus Christ says? Many will come to me in that day and say, "Lord, did we not preach the gospel in your name? Did we not perform miracles in your name? Did we not do wonders?" And I will profess unto them, "Depart from me, I know you not, you workers of iniquity." Where is their miracle? On that day, whom did that pastor represent in church? He represented Lucifer the devil, not Jesus Christ. Why? He disobeyed authority. That lowly brother in the car park is an authority in the car park. He was representing God. That is God's delegated authority. The pastor must submit to his authority. Are you following along with me? Wherever you get to, understand, identify who has authority here. If you do not identify who has authority, you will flout authority. And once you flout authority, you enter into rebellion. In the office, the manager must submit to the authority of the treasurer. The manager says, "Go and write a check for this." The treasurer says, we can't, sir. We don't have that money." "Mr. John, I said go and write the check." The manager is in serious trouble. He has flouted authority. We must be very careful, brethren. This is what a lot of us Christians do not know. And there is no difference between us and non-believers. We are different. That is why Jesus Christ says we must be meek. What did Jesus Christ say we should come and learn from him? Let's study the scriptures. He didn't say we should come to him to learn how to cast out devils. So he didn't say we should come to him to learn how to work miracles. So he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me, for I am lowly." He said we should come come and learn humility from him. That's what he said we should learn. In closing, sin is easily forgiven. If you commit sin, God finds it easy to forgive you. But if you rebel, God finds it difficult to forgive. Sin is easily forgiven because sin has to do with conduct. Rebellion is not easily forgiven because rebellion has to do with principles. That is why God forgave David and God did not forgive Saul. Because David sinned, Saul rebelled. Is somebody fly along with me?
Yes.
David committed sin. Saul committed rebellion. So David received forgiveness, Saul cannot receive forgiveness. If you are living in rebellion, today is the day that you must change. If you are living in disobedience, today is the day that you must change. If you are the type who is always resisting instruction, if they give you instruction, you will not do it. You are preparing hell. You are not a child of God. A child of God obeys authority. So long as the authority does not tell you to do what is sinful, you must obey. And you must obey cheerfully. And you must obey with all your heart. It is when you are in the habit of obeying and following instruction that God will begin to entrust authority into your own hands. Are you following along with me? When God sees that you are under authority, then God will give you authority. He proved it in the case of Jesus Christ. Jesus submitted himself totally to the authority of the Father. The Father said, go and die for your enemies. And Jesus obeyed unto the death. So you obey because you have all your enemies. They will obey you. Everybody is obeying you. God now says, sit down at my right hand till I make all your enemies a footstool for your feet. So he will sit down and he will place his feet upon his enemies. May God give you that kind of promotion.
Amen.
But first and foremost, may you receive the heart of obedience.
Amen.
May that heart of rebellion, that heart of disobedience, that heart of I don't like it, they cannot be doing that to me. They cannot be, am I the only one? Everything they want, they will be treating me this way. They will be treating me this way. Is it because I'm like this? God is the one telling them to treat you that way. Because he wants to see your reaction. Are you going along with me? If you think they are cheating you, God is the one permitting them to. He wants to see your reaction. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. That a season is coming for your exaltation. That season will only come if you humble yourself and you go under authority. I pray God will give us understanding. I pray that as he gives us understanding, we shall retain the understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And let us talk to the Lord. We shall continue next week, Sunday. We shall continue later. We shall continue later in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's talk to the Lord.